10:30 docket, State of Texas versus Frank Impey, cause number 214-407-CR. I understand counsel have checked in, and if the clerk will please announce who will be arguing today. All right, Mrs. Borshaw.
May it please the court. The trial court found the theft statute 31.03E4F unconstitutionally vague, but of course this court is not limited to a trial court's ruling on a de novo review that's before the court. The issue before this court today is whether the theft statute section is invalid on its face as unconstitutionally vague. This statute is presumed to be constitutional, and to rebut that presumption, that appellee must prove that it's unconstitutional in all its applications, and that the statute can never be constitutionally applied under any set or fact circumstances. A possibility that an extreme fact situation might be prosecuted one day under this statute is not a due process violation at this time. That's for the future if, in fact, that does occur. The state maintains that the statute is not void for vagueness, in that it gives a person of ordinary intelligence fair notice that his contemplated conduct is forbidden by the statute, or that it does not encourage arbitrary arrest or convictions. Both the state and appellee agree, based on the briefs, that the only question before this court today is whether, when enacting the section 31.03E4F, that the Texas legislature failed to establish minimal guidelines to cover prosecutorial discretion.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you have to know what level of offense you're committing when you commit it? You know, they say if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. You're supposed to do a cost-benefit analysis before you commit a crime. How do you do a cost-benefit analysis if you don't know whether you're going to be charged under this statute for stealing whatever you steal, the penny or the Rolls Royce or the art object, or under the statute that determines the level of offense by the value of the thing stolen? I mean, don't they conflict? I mean,
well, Justice Dauphineau, actually, the court in Earls v. State, 818 Southwest 2nd 82, Tex Crim Act 1986.
Wait, slow down. Lynn.
Oh, I'm sorry. Earls v. State, 818
okay.
Southwest 2nd 82.
Gotcha.
And in that case, that was exact argument of the defendant, that he was charged with robbery. He was found guilty of theft from person as a lesser included offense. And his whole argument was, wait a minute, the theft from person has to be unconstitutionally vague because I was not put on notice which crime I violated, robbery, theft from person, or just the general theft statute. And the court in that case stated, in quotes, the fact that a person's conduct violates two parts of a statute or even two different statutes does not make that statute vague. Again, quoting from that opinion, the fact that defendant might not know which of the several penalties that he will actually be charged with does not render the provisions vague. And so as long as a person of ordinary intelligence has noticed that his conduct could be viewed as criminal on two or three different statutes is all that's necessary under a constitutional analysis.
Okay. Yeah, but that was a lesser included. It should have been anticipated as a lesser included offense of the offense charged. And now, you know, there's a question whether that would even be a lesser included because there may be another element. But, okay, so what would be a lesser included offense of stealing something that has some kind of metal in it? What would be a lesser included offense of it that we could anticipate?
I don't believe you could anticipate necessarily a lesser included offense,
okay,
because this is theft of a metal, so it's very specific. But Justice Dauphineau, I think it also The question is, in the acceptance, prosecutors have a lot of discretion, and we hope they use it wisely. They're limited in their discretion, whether it's be a selective prosecution, vindictiveness, prosecutorial vindictiveness. Those are specific claims when a prosecutor overreaches his or her discretion. And in those specific claims, the defendant's charges are dismissed, but that doesn't mean that the statute is unconstitutional.
But how do you know what you're going to be? For example, suppose you steal, I don't know if you remember that orange piece of metal that was in front of the Fort Worth National Bank?
Yes, how does one forget that?
Yes, okay. Suppose you manage to steal that. That's probably got one of those forbidden metals in it. Is your defense, it's a state jail felony because it's got some of the forbidden metal in it? Or do they get to choose whichever's got the highest?
Prosecutors get to choose. I mean, the basic, I guess, acceptance in the law is prosecutors have discretion to charge a greater or lesser charge, and it doesn't render a statute unconstitutional unless there's more to it, it's discriminatory type enforcement. And that goes back to the Borden Ketcher versus Hayes, U.S. 1978
okay,
case.
So,
and so that's understood that prosecutors can charge different. And in the criminal penal code, as you're well aware, there are many times as a prosecutor I decide mental culpability, injury to a child, is it reckless, is it endangerment?
But that's not the same.
Well, but a lot of this, and I guess my argument goes to, and when you look at the law on the doctrine of statutory construction, this impari materia, it really, I think, sums up on acceptance that you can be charged with, one would be felony murder or involuntary manslaughter.
But they're the same. Okay, if you're charged with theft over $1 million, I don't even know what the highest level of theft is. Never see it in Tarrant County. But let's say you're charged with theft over $1 million. Is theft of aluminum a lesser included offense? It would seem not, but part of the description of that thing was and would be it's got metal.
Well, the theft, the general value-based theft statutes are based on value, and the theft of metal is based on the metal. So I can't envision where this theft of a metal would be less included because that additional element of the state having to prove copper, aluminum, brass,
okay,
et cetera. And so, but throughout the criminal justice, rightly or wrongly, prosecutors have the discretion to charge a greater or lesser charge in this.
But don't you have to know what offense you're committing?
Well, you have to know that your conduct... conduct. When I commit offense, I have to know that that conduct could be prosecuted under this statute, or this statute, because that's the notice provided. It doesn't have to be, though, such that I can narrow it down to which one the prosecutor's going to decide to charge me with, because we want prosecutors to use a sound discretion, good discretion on looking at the law and deciding which charge they should present to the grand jury.
May I ask a question?
Yes, Justice Sutter.
Here's what's troubling to me. There are a lot of things out there that have copper or aluminum or brass in them, and a thief may or may not know, like a chrome-plated doorknob at a garage sale that may have brass underneath. It's chrome-plated, and is an ordinary person supposed to be a metallurgist? Is an ordinary person supposed to know that this is it's got brass in it, or something that's painted, a piece of metal that's painted, so that an ordinary thief doesn't know that that is brass or aluminum under that? And the third thing is, what about the example where someone steals perhaps an old radio that doesn't work, and there may be just some minuscule copper wirings in that radio? Is that theft? It's under that statute, it's theft of copper. And yet that thief thinks they're stealing a worthless radio that doesn't work. But they can be prosecuted on a state jail felony and not even realize that inside that worthless piece of junk is just a minuscule amount of copper, which put you under that statute. That's what really I'm having a problem with, is that knowledge. And what do we impute to the ordinary person? Do we impute to them knowledge of metals and knowledge that there's a metal underneath the paint, or there's a metal inside the box, or that this metal is aluminum versus tin? These are the things that bother me.
Well, and Justice Sutter, that would apply to all the theft statutes because they're value-based. So I might steal something.
But this isn't value-based. This is
right.
Type of metal-based.
But for example, if I stole something that looked to me to be, you know, at the time of this, under $50, it would be a Class C misdemeanor. But I find out it's a rare diamond, you know, that was worth well over $20,000 or $1 million, you know, I'm still being charged with the value of that property. And so the whole theft statute is based on either the value or the content of what the person stole. So that hesitation or concern is then what applied to the entire theft statute, because the value is determined not by what the defendant perceives the value to be, but the actual value of the item, such as theft of metal. You know, the legislature, in their wisdom, has decided that now this theft of metal is of significance, that it should be elevated in punishment. And so again,
and so the radio that doesn't work, that has a little bit of copper wiring in it.
Yes, yes. I you know, yes. Now, whether that is, I think a lot of this, the basis is really, in my opinion, an Eighth Amendment claim, that really stealing a radio that you had no idea had copper in it, it violates the Eighth Amendment because it's a state jail felony and you didn't know about it. And so those are the type of, I think, extreme situations, I would hope, that give you that make you pause, thinking something's not right. But in this case, that's not before the court right now, because if we start engaging in extreme fact scenarios, then you'd be issuing advisory opinions. So before the court today is on its face, is it unconstitutionally vague? And it's just not. It's very, very specific. It prescribes metal, the types of metal, and prescribes the penalty. And so this, in Appellee's brief, where you do the scenario where the prosecutor...
So if he hadn't been stealing aluminum bats...
Wooden bats.
Let's say he'd been stealing... He stole a radio with a little bit of copper in it. You're saying our analysis would be different?
Well, he could be charged with the copper that was within
that
radio.
And if he was, then our analysis would be different, because that would be an extreme circumstance.
That would be an extreme circumstance.
But you're just saying that this is not an extreme circumstance that gives rise to a constitutional analysis or constitutional concern.
Well, on its face, it's very specific. It's not vague. And so I think the discussion we're having is more about an implied analysis as applied to someone stealing that radio with copper in it. And that's for another day, because it's not the only issue before the court today. Is on its face, is this statute unconstitutional? It's presumed constitutional. It's a very high burden. Beyond, to rebut that presumption, it's beyond a reasonable doubt. So today before the court, it's truly just, is it facially unconstitutional? And the state maintains it's not. It's very, very specific. Your concerns could be addressed on another day in another fact situation that would, I would hope as a prosecutor, would never come to this court because of the discretion that you want prosecutors to have in these types of cases.
Well, I've got a problem with prosecuting somebody who wanted to steal a baseball bat that had been thrown away. So, I mean, the only reason it was theft was because he was supposed to have paid for taking stuff out of the dump.
Well, he was, and again, unfortunately, the record on this analysis, it's by the face of the indictment, because there's no record before this court. But Justice Dofino, he worked for a scrapyard metal company,
okay,
and as an employee, they caught him on film taking these items.
All right, but he was taking bats. He wasn't taking something to melt down, which is the purpose of the statute for the legislature. He was taking bats to use to hit balls with, or people, or whatever, but not to melt down for the metal. I mean... the breadth of this statute is staggering. You can't steal a light bulb. You can't, if somebody brings a sandwich in an aluminum foil, puts it in the refrigerator here at court, and somebody gets hungry and decides to eat their sandwich, they've committed a state jail felony. The breadth of this is just...
Justice Dofno, and that type of analysis as far as over breadth on a constitutional basis is for, you know, protected conduct. And again, I'm not suggesting that scenario would be right, but again, that's not before the court, and I would hope that a prosecutor would use discretion never to prosecute somebody for a
limit. But the prosecutor shouldn't have that kind of discretion. Well, the statute shouldn't, violating the law should not depend on the mood the prosecutor's in that day. Violating a statute should, yeah, it's okay.
I apologize.
You're our only argument, so.
Okay.
My lucky day.
Yeah,
your lucky day.
With all due respect.
Yes. But, you know, what statute you violated, whether they want to charge you for theft under $50 or they want to charge you for a state jail felony, shouldn't be up to the prosecutor, should be up to the legislature. And if you go out and steal that thing from in front of the Fort Worth National, I don't know what it's made of.
I do not know to this day.
But, you know, if it happens to turn out that underneath that orange paint there's aluminum, then what crime have you committed? Have you stolen something worth over $1 million, or have you stolen aluminum?
Well, and just off note, you bring up good issues, but we assume our legislature acts constitutionally, and they have, in their wisdom, decided that theft of this metal, no matter the value, no matter if it's aluminum piece, you know, from a refrigerator, a copper wire hidden in a radio, no matter the value, the importance somehow of metal is so important that it's a state jail felony. And that is within the legislature to determine what, as a society, we're going to prosecute. We might disagree with that, but then the remedy to that is to amend, you know, that statute to make it more limiting. But before the court today is it facially unconstitutional? And it's not. It's very, very specific. It's copper, let me refer to my notes, aluminum, bronze, copper, or brass.
And how does it interface with value-based punishment for theft?
It doesn't. And the legislature says we don't care the value. This metal is so important to our economy because it's found on oil rigs that, if taken apart, could shut the oil well down. It's found in air conditionings when everyone was stealing copper wiring. So the legislature, again, in its wisdom, has mandated through this statute, we don't care the value of that metal. It is a fact that it is metal, and these types of metals that are so highly protected in Texas, apparently, today, that it's against the law and it's a state jail felony. And that is within their discretion and their ability to do.
Whether it's charged as a state jail felony or a first degree felony or a Class C misdemeanor is totally left up to the prosecutor. And it shouldn't be. It should be up to the legislature.
Well, the prosecutor, I would disagree. The prosecutor has incredible discretion. And you hope they use it wisely. If they don't, though, there are other ways to challenge that discretion that's unbridled. It's, you know, vindictiveness in prosecution, selective prosecution. It is, as I said, you go back to, which is an interesting doctrine, this impari materia. Basically, they're so close in their elements that we don't want the prosecutor to decide which one to prosecute. They take that discretion away from the prosecutor based on a due process concern and say, prosecutor, you have to prosecute them on the more specific statute, not the more general. So there are safeguards in place.
Which is more specific, value or the name of the metal?
The state contends it would be the name of the metal. It's far more specific than the value. But what's before the court today is whether it's facially unconstitutional. Now, whether a prosecutor shows due discretion and it ends up at some point in the future an Eighth Amendment claim is, boy, that prosecutor didn't show due discretion, and as such, someone stealing a penny from the desk is now facing a state jail felony conviction. That's another question for the court. I would hope that that would never come before this court because we'll show due discretion in dealing as we go forward on this case, to be quite honest with you.
Any other questions?
Talked enough. All right. Thank you, Ms. Borchardt.
Thank you.
Mr. Gladden, and let's give Mr. Gladden a couple more minutes in case we have further discussions.
Okay.
Sauce for the goose?
I may not take advantage of it because I only could put 2 hours of coins in the meter downstairs, but I'll have to balance that as we go along.
What metal were those?
Where'd you get them?
I didn't steal them. What we've got here is a question of the scope of prosecutorial discretion. We know that the vagueness doctrine under the 14th Amendment not only confines the scope of prosecutorial discretion, but there's two different ways, as I mentioned, and I think in Colander versus Lawson, you've got one question of vagueness dealing with reasonable notice to a defendant. Then you also have a question of whether or not a statute or ordinance conveys unfettered discretion. And generally, the principles that determine whether discretion is unfettered or excessively unfettered is, number one, whether the legislature has provided minimal guidelines to guide prosecutorial discretion. I've also cited a case, the Fox Television Stations case, I think it's FCC versus Fox Television, where it mentions that the vagueness doctrine applies not only to elements of an offense, but it also applies to punishment. In this particular appeal, we are not emphasizing or even relying on an absence of notice to a defendant. It's really more of a question of whether or not the statute, as on, by its plain terms, conveys unfettered discretion or excessively unfettered discretion. As I say in my brief, the Supreme Court has used one principle as whether or not it authorizes. It doesn't have to encourage, but if it authorizes or encourages an exercise of discretion in an arbitrary way, then it would fail the test.
Okay, Richard, why doesn't the statute set aside a group of objects that if you steal them, no matter what amount, no matter what their value, if you steal those, you can never be punished more than a state jail felony?
Well,
although there can be lesser included.
I agree with the premise of your question. What the legislature, of course, we say in our brief that this statute is not susceptible to a narrowing construction to get rid of the vagueness. I would submit to you that had the legislature fully appreciated how much discretion they were conveying to prosecutors to either prosecute somebody for stealing something less than $50, like a roll of coins, or back when I was younger, you could pop the top off a can and it would be separate. Nowadays, you just punch them in. But as the example that Justice Sutter gave about a infinitesimal amount of copper or aluminum in an object could get you a state jail felony, I think we're all in agreement that that's an almost unfettered discretion in a prosecutor. And it's not two separate offenses, it's the same exact conduct and the same elements of the offense. What I submit to you is because, as you've mentioned, Justice Stefano, they've gotten into an area where the range of punishment does not depend on the fair market value or intrinsic value of an object that's stolen, it depends on something else. And the error they've made is not specifying exactly what the additional factor would be or justification for an enhanced punishment. They could have put what I mean is if they had included the words, if the metal is by its intended use or nature was important to the furtherance of the war effort, or that the nature of the metal by its nature or intended use would interfere with construction, something of that nature, because you have to distinguish between, and like I say, we're talking about, and even the state says, we're talking about the facial validity, the actual literal terms of the statute. But I don't think we have to, I think kind of common sense would tell you that what the legislature was intending to do was to deal with these people who go out and pull copper wire out of walls in buildings, or they go to construction sites, and the metal is actually used for a specific purpose. It's not just the tab off of an empty beer can. But the legislature failed to provide the minimal guidelines that the vagueness doctrine requires to cabin the constitutional discretion that a prosecutor could exercise, so you wouldn't have these extremely disparate results for the exact same conduct and the same offense. And that's the problem I have. And
are most of them coupled with burglaries?
Well, you could have, if in a construction project, it may or may not be a, of course, it could be a burglar of a building or a burglary of a habitation. I think that's true, is if it, that would be another way, is saying if the offense was committed in the course of a unlawful entry or burglary of a building or residence. But they didn't, they just made it so open-ended that it does authorize, and that's really the key.
Or even trespass on property.
That's right. And what I'm saying is the completely open-ended discretion in this case does rise to a level that it has just, the statute does not give any minimal guidelines to cabin in what we would presume would be a non-absurd exercise of legislative authority to impose enhanced punishments for the same conduct. And it's just incredibly apparent to me that it's just absurd, the idea that someone could be prosecuted, depending on the unfettered discretion of a prosecutor, for either a Class C misdemeanor for stealing just any amount of metal described, or a state jail felony, which would impose up to a 2-year confinement in a state jail facility. And so I think we are clearly dealing with a question of a lack of minimal guidelines in the statute that was a failure on the part of the legislature, and we are dealing with a situation where it does authorize such an arbitrary enforcement. And this is not a case of selective prosecution. Selective prosecution generally would be a situation where a prosecutor for an improper motive selectively prosecutes someone as opposed to someone else under a valid statute. Okay, that's not the kind of claim we're making. What we're talking about is vagueness and the unfettered discretion that's been conveyed to prosecutors.
Mr. Gladden, would it be your position then? I think there was a predecessor statute to this.
I'm not familiar with that.
Okay. I think there was, that went into some of the factors that you've mentioned.
The weight, either the amount of aluminum, the percentage.
Yeah. I was wondering if you had ever...
I'm not familiar with the prior statute. I did look at the appendices that Judge Fostell appended to his ruling.
Okay.
And, of course, we're not relying on that. I think the state is right that we really have to go by the literal terms of the statute and not go behind it to speculate about what was intended. But we have to keep it in context that it would be permissible if the legislature provided minimal guidelines of what it intended. And because of the just kind of absurdly broad discretion, you just have to find that it failed, the legislature failed, to include minimal guidelines to distinguish between something of very little value and a Class C misdemeanor versus a felony offense.
Well, wouldn't this be similar to the situation of an intoxication manslaughter charge and maybe just an assault charge?
Well, it's okay. It's not a question of, I think by that question, I may be hearing it wrong, but I don't think we're dealing with a question here about whether someone did or didn't have knowledge of one range of punishment versus another. We're talking about a arbitrary authorization for a prosecutor to exercise arbitrary discretion between two different ranges of punishment on things having nothing to do with value and no expression by the legislature of a justification for the distinction between the ranges of punishment. And that would not be the case if you held someone to a greater degree of punishment because of the consequences of his unlawful act. And this is a different situation. The state actually, one of the cases the state cites is a case called Adley, A-D-L-E-Y, where according to the state, the decision in that case was based in part on the fact that the statute found unconstitutionally vague on the ground that, as the court found, the state in that case was at liberty to randomly decide which party was the maker of a bet and which person was the receiver of a bet. Well, in this case, there is the same kind of, contrary to the state's argument, in this case, there is absolutely unfettered discretion conveyed to a prosecutor to decide whether to prosecute someone based upon the value under $50 versus the nature of the metal. And as I say, it's not confined in any way by the purpose for which the metal was intended to be used or was it being possessed or whether it was in the course of a trespass or a burglary or something of that nature. And so I think what we get down to is it does convey unconstitutionally vague and unfettered discretion that results in a punishment, a grossly great disparate punishments. And there is really no narrowing construction. It's not really for this court to try to imply or infer that the statute could be narrowed in that manner, as the examples I just gave. And so I think you really do have to just find it unconstitutionally vague. This is not going to be the end of the world. The legislature can go back and think about it maybe a little more clearly and understand why they need to provide minimal guidelines.
Is there a savings clause?
I'm sorry?
Is there a savings clause?
I don't believe there is a savings clause.
So I just go back to the general theft statute.
That's right. And of course, the prosecution of these offenses would continue under the value-based categories of ranges of punishment. And if the legislature, and I think it easily could provide minimal guidelines to distinguish when theft of metal should be treated under a greater enhancement punishment scheme, it certainly can do so. And it wouldn't take it very long to do. But I just don't think it's for this court to, of course, the court can analyze it and explain why the court has a problem and why I have a problem with it. But it's really not for the court to rewrite the statute form, basically. As far as the facts in this case, the state complained a little bit about the fact that because it's not an as-applied challenge, the court shouldn't take into account the facts relied upon by the trial court in reaching his or its determination of unconstitutional vagueness. Well, the fact of the matter is it was the state that asserted the facts in its response to the motion to quash. And if the state's going to assert facts and they are undisputed facts, I think a court properly, either at the trial court level or on appeal, can take them into account in its analysis. And just in closing, I think I probably have more time than I need. The standard, as we refer to in our brief, is whether there's a real possibility that the statute authorizes arbitrary enforcement. And I just don't see how the state can get around a conclusion that it does. I think it's not just a real possibility, it's actually probably happened in this very case.
Why is it not a consideration that by placing the theft of anything containing aluminum, copper, or whatever the forbidden metals are, creates a separate theft class, and therefore, no matter whether a car is stolen, that thing from in front of the Fort Worth National Bank, no matter what's stolen, if it contains any amount of aluminum, copper, it is a state jail felony. Why is that not a legitimate interpretation of that statute?
Okay. My response to that would be, under this statute, a prosecutor has a choice that's not based upon any justification for taking the theft of the particular metal in question as a more serious offense. He has a choice that's unguided completely, and in the example that Justice Sudworth gave, if you've got a penny or if you've got a strand of aluminum in an otherwise worthless piece of junk that no one would ever find to be of a value more than $50.
Or
a prosecutor
aluminum foil that's been wadded up and thrown away.
Exactly. A wrapper off a piece of gum. If the paper's coated with some kind of metal substance, that would be a state jail felony. And that's the problem, is they're departing from a value-based categorization of the punishment ranges to something that is beyond the intrinsic or fair market value.
They did it with guns.
Well,
they didn't do it right the first time.
Yeah, and what I'm saying is if they're going to move beyond a fair market value or intrinsic value of the property taken, they have to provide some minimal guidelines that distinguishes between the public policy justification for a more enhanced punishment, or you do end up with what I would submit as a very absurd statute, taking into account the examples we've discussed. And if they wanted to say if it was in the course of a burglary or a trespass, or if the particular metal by its use or intended use was an important had an important purpose to further the war effort. For example, back when they rationed copper and aluminum and stuff, that was before my time.
Actually, I do remember that.
I wasn't going to suggest that you might remember that, but what I'm saying is, if it's some sort of a purpose, then it's kind of either implied explicitly or implicitly in a statute, you could distinguish between the examples we've given and an actual valid purpose, but it does not provide that kind of guidance to a prosecutor when making the completely arbitrary decision between prosecuting for a Class C misdemeanor and a state jail felony. That's my answer to your question. And it looks like I'm about out of time. If you don't have any more questions, I would return the remainder of my time to the court.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Gladden. Yeah,
thank you.
Ms. Borchardt?
Just in summary to the court, there are extreme fact situations where it would not be right, it would not be constitutional, but that's not before the court today. That is an implied as applied analysis. It's generally constitutional, but how it applied to me in stealing that aluminum foil, it's unconstitutional. That's not what's before the court today. There could be concerns on what prosecutors may or may not.
How would that be an as applied?
I'm sorry, yes, Justice?
How would that be make it unconstitutional as applied if you decided to prosecute somebody for stealing some aluminum foil? How would that be as applied? Because it is right down the line with that statute and your absolute unbridled discretion. I mean, it's aluminum. It's clearly aluminum.
Well, Justice, under that would just be how to bring that type of issue before this court. Again, the state contends that these underlying concerns are really an Eighth Amendment claim. And until that person is prosecuted.
Are they a valid Eighth Amendment claim or just an arguable Eighth Amendment?
No.
I mean, do you see the problem with taking a penny? I mean, I used to be told, find a penny, pick it up, all the day you'll have good luck. I'm going to rethink that when I see the penny on the driveway of somebody else now.
Well, and Justice, you bring that up. You steal a penny from a grave, state jail felony. I mean, because the legislature says we want to protect graves. But, yes, I do see a valid Eighth Amendment claim. If, as a prosecutor, I prosecute somebody for theft of metal when they go get a sandwich out of the refrigerator with aluminum foil, that, in my opinion, is wrong. And it is wrong because the taking of aluminum, that conduct, comparing to what the punishment is an Eighth Amendment claim. And when that's properly before the court, I would agree that is a problem. But that's not what's before the court today. It's a very, very high standard. It's presumed to be constitutional. And in order to rebut that presumption, it has to be unconstitutional in all its applications, not just kind of these I would hope, to be extreme fact situations. And as far as this case, there is no record before the court when you challenge it on its face. So this argument on it could have been a Class C or state jail felony, it's not before the court. There is no record before the court on this type of constitutional issue or question or analysis.
Well, Lindy, I am really thinking that if they have isolated out these metals, you can't prosecute them for anything but a state jail felony.
Well,
that's
and,
it. That, you know, inclusio unius, exclusio
unius. It's in materia, that doctrine of statutory construction that you have to prosecute if, and there, you have to find under that analysis that they're contained in the same legislated act, require the same elements of proof, involve different penalties, and were clearly written to achieve the same objective. So I don't know if that issue were before the court, if the court would find it in pari materia, to where the prosecutor then would not have discretion and would have to prosecute under the more specific statute. In all the cases I looked at, I didn't come across a case where the court found that statutory construction to apply. But yes, under that situation, under the doctrine of impari materia, then yes, the prosecutor would not have discretion.
So no matter how much that car was worth.
You know, the legislature, in their wisdom, has the ability, and we've given them the power to enact criminal statutes, and they have decided forbidden metal is of such importance to our society that it does not matter the value. And that is within their power until it's amended, but that is within their power and their discretion, though we might disagree with how what they've determined to be valuable in our society, to where it's not limited to a cost analysis.
Well, to me, the problem is if the prosecutor has the discretion to decide whether to prosecute under that statute or something that's of substantially more value under a different statute, then I think the prosecutor has too much, it would seem the prosecutor has too much discretion. If the prosecutor is limited to that statute and all theft of anything containing any amount of metal is a state jail felony, then I think that's the amount of control the legislature would have to have placed in the statute to make it constitutional.
In all due respect, though, Justice Dauphineau, under Earls v. State, that's not what they held. They held that the fact a defendant might not know which of the several penalties that he will actually be charged with, it's not an unconstitutionally vague statute. And prosecutors have discretion. And that's well established in the law. The state maintains appellee has failed to rebut the presumption that the theft statute is on its face unconstitutional beyond a reasonable doubt, and the state of Texas prays that the lower court's ruling is reversed. Thank you.
All right, counsel, we appreciate your arguments today. We appreciate you coming to Fort Worth. Your case is now submitted, and we will adjourn court. Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay, you too. If you want to throw that away, please.